Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, December the 28th. This is the last Friday of 2018. Isn't that something to think about? You know, it's interesting. We always remember the first Friday of the year, and now here's the last Friday of the year. So hello, wherever you are. Hello, wherever you are on this, the last Friday of 2018. We have pretty chilly temperatures here in Texas. Well, I mean, chilly for us, of course. Everything is relative. But we're right now at around 40, but it feels a little chillier than that because of the wind, and it's supposed to drop to like 32 tonight. So, yeah, I this is fireplace weather. That's what we call this here in North America, fireplace weather. Well, today we're going to connect with our friend George Rodriguez. He's going to be checking in with us here in a few minutes. George and I will be talking about the shutdown, the politics of the shutdown, because really this is all about politics right now. Both sides are dug in, if you will. And I think this is all about politics at the moment. There's a new study that came out, a new survey that came out indicating that Trump has about 33%, or that 33% of Hispanics voted for Trump. That's not surprising. That's about what I think all of us expected. And you have to wonder, who are those Hispanics? Exactly what, let's say, what is their socioeconomic status? I'd be interested in learning more about that study. I think I'm going to see if I can contact the pollster and maybe talk a little bit more about those Hispanics, because I bet there's a lot of Cubans in that study. That's a lot of Cubans, I should say, in that 33%. And then we'll get to hear from George a little bit about some of the border issues and some of the things that are going down in South Texas, where, of course, they're right across from the border with Mexico. I do have a post, a couple of interesting things that I wrote about this week, one that will be out tomorrow and one that was out this morning. The one this morning was about Venezuela and Russia. You may be familiar with the news that Venezuela and Russia are getting very close. And exactly what Putin is thinking, again, it's one of those things we don't know. I'm assuming that Putin is trying to get his hands on the oil. That's probably what he's trying to do. And I'm assuming that Maduro is trying to get some liquidity. That makes a lot of sense, given the difficult situation in the country. Exactly how much of this is going to help Venezuela, and how much of this is going to become a national security problem for the United States? That's I think, an open question. We don't really know. Obviously, any time that Russia, gets close to a country like Venezuela, well, that's going to present some challenges, obviously, to the United States. But, we don't really know. We don't really know exactly how close they are and how far this is going to go. We do know that Venezuela is using the shares that they own in the company Citgo. For those of you who don't know Citgo, the gas company, some of you may be putting Citgo gasoline in your tank. I think it's very popular in the Northeast. I think it's a lot more popular up there than down here in Texas. But anyway, it's a gasoline company like any other. And half of that company is owned by the Venezuelan government. And they're putting up the shares, the Venezuelan shares in that company, as collateral for some of the activities that the Russians are engaged in, some of the loans that the Russians are giving them, and some of the investments that Russia is making in their country. So Putin is obviously not stupid. You know, he's getting some pretty good collateral in that company. Now the question is, how are the shareholders of that company, the other half of that company, how are they going to react to having Putin, in a sense, as an indirect partner? Because Putin has those assets right now. I mean, if Venezuela cannot pay, all of a sudden Putin is, or Russia, I should say, is half owner of Citgo. How that goes down, I don't know. I don't know how that goes down with not just the national security interest of the United States, but that how that goes down with with the owners of the company or the Trump administration. I mean, this is all, of course, all up in the air. This is all up in the air right now, and we're going to have to keep an eye on it. So I'm not ready to say that this is a major security issue, but it certainly has the potential of being a major security issue, again, because of Venezuela. The last thing you want is for Venezuela to get bailed out by the Russians. That's simply not something that we want at this moment. So we're going to keep an eye on that story. We're going to keep an eye on that story as we look at it over the next few weeks, because I think there's more details to come out of this relationship. I'm sure we'll have to keep an eye on that story. The other story that I'll be talking about tomorrow, you know, we are now a few days away from the 60th anniversary of the so-called Cuba Revolution. They usually have a big party, a big military parade on the 1st of January to celebrate the revolution, as they like to call it. The problem is that there's not a lot to celebrate. The situation in Cuba is not very good. And the government keeps putting on more and more demands on people, more and more shortages, and more things that they want the people to do. And people are getting very restless. Historically, this is going to be an important anniversary, because this is going to be the first time that there's not going to be a Castro delivering the big speech of the night. Usually what happens is Fidel Castro used to deliver these long speeches on the anniversary of the revolution. Well, that's not going to happen because he's dead and his brother is retired. And his brother didn't give long speeches like Fidel did. But nevertheless, it was a Castro on the podium. And that's not going to happen this year. There's not going to be a Castro on the podium. So that's going to be interesting to watch how that goes down, because this new president that they have, Miguel Díaz-Canel, I mean, he was appointed by Raúl Castro. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He was appointed by Raúl Castro. And the fact is that he doesn't seem to have the revolutionary credibility, if I could put it that way. He's seen, I think, by most Cubans as a bureaucrat, someone who basically was next in line, or someone who had, had the favorite, of Raúl Castro. And I don't know how well he's going to do. I don't know how well he's going to do, because the country's a mess. Díaz-Canel just got back from a trip around the world. He visited China, Vietnam, France, the UK, Germany, maybe a few other countries. And he was basically looking for money. He was looking for investments. He was going around the world saying, hey, we want you to invest in Cuba. And he came back really empty-handed, as they say. He came back really empty-handed. I mean, there's not that much interest to invest in Cuba. And you can certainly understand why. There's not much of a market in Cuba. The population is obviously very small. So if you're trying to sell something in Cuba, you know, there's just not a market. There's not a population capable of buying anything. Unless you're in the tourism business, but there's already a ton of hotels. How many more hotels can Cuba have? The reality is that tourism, American tourism, was supposed to come in huge numbers. It really hasn't. So you have a situation where the economy is really tight. All of the economic projections are not looking good. And this is the environment in which he's going to deliver the big anniversary speech. There's also a very interesting article in the Miami Herald saying that there's a lot of turbulence. You know, there's a lot of dissent within the Communist Party, because there are some people who are seeing the handwriting on the wall and they're saying, you know, we got to change this thing. This is not going anywhere. And so I expect 2019 to be a year of very significant, I mean, very significant events in Cuba. I'm not saying the system is going to get overthrown. I'm not quite there yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. But I do think the country is going to have to change. And how it changes, I don't know. But whatever path they're on right now is obviously not working very well in Cuba. Well, we're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and then we'll be right back.
is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link, Carlos' website, on the show information. If you're on Facebook, you can become his friend and get all of the updates of where he's playing in the Dallas area. Very entertaining guy. A lot of fun if you go out to eat. It's just a great time to be had when you go out to eat wherever Carlos is playing. We may have to reschedule our friend George. He may be having a few problems down there in South Texas, and we may not be able to speak today. I'm trying to get an update from him. You know, he often has meetings to go to and stuff like that. So I'm not saying he's not going to call in, but let's go on with the rest of the show. And if he doesn't, we'll just reschedule it for another time. But I think that the big story right now, of course, is the shutdown. And the shutdown has to do completely with the border issues, what's happening down on the border. Obviously, the issue is about the border wall, but I think it's really more about border security. I mean, it's the whole idea that, you know, you want your country to be a country that is protected. I mean, you want your immigration laws to be respected. You want to live in a country where you feel safe. This incident in California, where you have an illegal immigrant who killed a police officer, it's a horrible tragedy. On top of it all, the police officer has a five-month-old son, 5 months old. Here he is. This boy is already an orphan at 5 months. There's a young widow as well. So, I mean, this is a terrible situation. I mean, normally any time that a police officer is killed in the line of duty, of course, you know, we pray and we feel terrible about the family of the police officer. But now you're in a situation where once again we see an illegal immigrant who has a rap sheet. I mean, this guy, how this guy was in the street is beyond me. How this guy was not turned over to ICE or whatever is beyond me. It's just, you know, it's inexplicable. And I'm sick and tired of hearing excuses such as, well, you know, illegal immigrants don't have a high crime rate. Well, that doesn't matter whether illegal immigrants have a high crime rate or not. This illegal immigrant killed a police officer. He had no business being in the United States. And we have a responsibility as a country to say, if you're in the country illegally and you get arrested, you're going to get deported. You know, we just don't allow these people to come back into the country or to go back in the street and commit more crimes, as was the case with this young man. So, I mean, this is a total failure, a total complete failure of the duty of government to protect its citizens. In this case, a law enforcement officer, which is even more dramatic. And of course, all of this comes in the middle of the debate over border security. I think that Trump is going to win this debate, by the way. I really do. I think that Trump is going to win the debate because Trump is going to focus on border security. And I think his strategy is going to be to try to appeal to many of those new Democrats who were elected in conservative districts where they ran for office saying that they were not going to vote for Nancy Pelosi, where they ran for office not talking about immigration and so on. And I think if you could target, you know, let's say between 15 and 20 of those Democrats, and then maybe there may be more, and target them and try to say to them, look, you know, this is about border security. This is not about a wall. This is really about border security. I think Trump's going to win. He's going to win politically because I think the issue of border security is a winning issue. I just don't see it any other way. To me, border security is one of those, you know, it speaks for itself. You know, you don't need to have a very long explanation about border security. It speaks for itself. You know, if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. And if you've got people coming into your country and they're going into states like California where you have sanctuary cities, well, that just doesn't make any sense. So I think Trump's going to win the debate. I really do. Trump's going to win the debate. So I expect all of this to be settled in Trump's favor. It won't be right away. It won't be right away because Nancy Pelosi needs a fight with Trump to keep her speakership. Basically, she's got to show the left wing of her party that she's going to fight Trump. So she needs this very badly. But I think in the long run, in the first quarter of the year, maybe even sooner than that, I think you will see the issue settled. And I think Trump will get his money. As I've said many times before, if the Democrats were smart, they would use the whole issue of border wall funding to get other things that they want, such as DACA. I mean, I'd be willing to make that deal, by the way. Give me the border wall and I'll give you DACA. I'd be willing to make that deal. I wrote several articles about that in the past. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I think Trump's going to win. I really do, because I think the focus is going to be on border security. And there's a lot of Democrats up for re-election in 2020 already in the House, and they're going to have some tough re-elections. They're going to have tough re-elections. And I think border security may very well be a factor that the Republican candidate could use against them in 2020. Well, I don't think we're going to get our friend George today. We'll have to reschedule him. I was looking forward to chatting with him a little bit about the border, but we'll get him again. We'll try to get him on Saturday afternoon. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas from the last Friday of 2018. Enjoy yourself. And if you're in the North Texas area and you're going outside, make sure you wear a sweater, because it's going to be pretty chilly. Talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.